大丈夫ですよ。これ、
You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Oh, good morning, gents. We're here to talk about this wonderful movie, The Mercy. I am your host, Justin Zarian, and over to my right here, I believe, on the internets, that's the interwebs for you people, is London. London, like the place where I was born. How are you doing?
Oh, very fine, thank you. Salutations and gracious to be here.
Oh, most excellent. Thank you very kindly. You are a gentleman and a scholar. And over here, we have Mr., shall I say, Sir Davy. How are you doing, Sir Davy?
I'm doing real right nice, though, y'all. How are y'all?
What was that?
Chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim tree. A sweet beer's as lotty can be.
Somebody's been listening to the new songs from Mary Poppins Returns lately.
No, I think that was a better impression than... Dick Van Dyke's Mary Poppins.
Oh, boy. So, what's with all this Britishness we got on here? Well, we reviewed a very British movie, The Mercy. This is a biographical drama following the adventures, well, I mean, misadventure, sadly. This was a very sad incident involving Donald Crowhurst. Now, most people have probably never heard of this guy. I barely knew who he was. Donald Crowhurst was a guy in England who decided to compete for the Sunday Times Globe Race, where it was the first person in the world to circumvent the globe without stopping at any point on land. And, you know, he was kind of a nobody. He was making very little money selling sailing equipment to people. He had a family to support with a wife and three kids. And he just decides, you know what? I want to do something that not only will make me, hopefully, a little more famous, but also will make my kids proud of me, because otherwise I'm just some boring dad. So he built himself a boat, and he sailed out, and... Well, it didn't quite go the way that he hoped, unfortunately. Very, very sad story in real life, too. So, now, that's an interesting choice to make a movie out of, because, again, one, you know how the story ends if you know the actual story about this guy. And two, it's really, really sad what happened to this dude. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm a little conflicted on some of my feelings about how they made this movie, but... You know, London, why don't you start? Well, what are some thoughts that you had initially about this movie?
Well, to be a part of that whole, I had no idea about the story. And so going into it, I just saw the trailer, and I was like, oh, okay, it's, you know, paint by numbers, what's going to be, you know. And then I found out, oh, this is a true story. And then as it went along, I was surprised. I'm like, oh, this is a tragedy.
Oh, it is very much a trap. Like, even from the get-go, when you see all the problems this guy has building this freaking boat, you're just like, dude, like, literally God is telling you, do not go on that ocean. It feels like.
Yeah. You know, it's very British about it, because it's like, it's not like an American movie. It's like, all right, we can do it, guys. We can, you know, it's 1968. So it's like, hey, we can do it, guys. He's very like...
I love your American, like, I'm going to go pull myself up by my bootstraps and go on my paper route, bitch.
Gee willikers, guys, we can do this because we're Americans.
I would watch the Mercy USA edition 1,000 times. Just Colin Firth just being like, I'm going to go on a boat and I'm going to sail. I don't know why all Americans sound like Mickey Mouse in my head.
But your point, London.
That was so much fun about this tragic, boring movie. But anyway, so
well, Davey, I think I'm assuming you probably actually feel in line with London on this one. What were you going to say about this?
I as well did not know what this was about. I just saw Rachel Weisz on the poster and said, "Yeah, I'll watch her do anything." this movie is there.
Yes, it is a movie.
It exists. And that is pretty much the only really, like, concrete thing I can say about this, because, yes, it's sad, yes, it's unfortunate, and yes, the real story is very sad, but the movie does such little effort trying to make us care about any of this, aside from the fact that it's a real story and that it actually happened, that it just kind of flops itself down in front of you, and it's like, aren't you sad about this? And I'm like, no, I'm not, movie. I mean, it's pretty looking, and the acting is good, but they never give me any reason to care about this, because this is a somewhat controversial guy. Like, he did some stuff that, and the way that the film portrays him, without getting into too much detail, I feel like spends a lot of the movie just assuming that we will already like him, when he kind of is such a victim to his own ego and pride that it's almost Shakespearean, but when you spend this much time with his family and you get to like his family more than you like him, it's really difficult for me to empathize with why he's doing what he's doing, when the entire time I'm just going, dude, just go back to your family. You have a nice family. Your life's not terrible.
It feels like, I mean, it feels like it's that very much that British pride thing. I mean, and plus, to be fair, they made a situation where if he did go back, he would be screwed over more than he already was.
Yes, but he shouldn't have decided, because I know that the actual Donald Crowhurst was like 35, 40 or so, but at least in the context of the film, played by Colin Firth, he's like 55 years old.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because Rachel Weisz obviously is much younger looking than he is. And she's not like young, but she's definitely not Colin Firth's age.
Rachel Weisz does not age.
No, she's freaking beautiful.
She does. That's the thing, she does like, not age, eternal, seriously.
And I love her.
But that's the thing. It's like, I had to wonder. It's like, when I saw the actual like birth and death date of the main guy, I'm like, Colin Firth does not seem like he fits this role. Like, he seems too old for the part.
I think he's like, so, it's like a 20-30, it's like a 20-year difference, a 10 to 20-year difference or something between a real guy and him or something.
Yeah, no, actually, okay, I'm looking at it here, because the guy, you know, when he disappeared, you know, sorry, spoilers, that's the way he died, 37. Colin Firth is definitely not
37. Oh, jeez, yeah.
Yeah, Colin Firth was 9 years old when this dude vanished in 1969.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no, this is... That was definitely... I mean, they cast him more because to be fair, he doesn't even really look like the guy very much. They cast him because he's Colin Firth, essentially.
Yeah, and he does a great job because he is Colin Firth. No, he's and great. He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he's very good in this movie. Well, so.
I think, okay, one way to summarize what like our complaints are is that it's a BBC film and it feels like it's gonna be on BBC television at some point.
It's higher budget than a lot of BBC films are, but
that's true. I mean, because I think it is released by Studio Canal, but it still has that. This would be something that would be playing on BBC television. Like, it just has that, it feels like, it's a little bit better because it's directed by James Marsh, who he made Theory of Everything, which is a phenomenal film. And,
yeah, phenomenal is a little hyperbolic.
I love Theory of Everything. I think it had great performances.
No, but the phenomenal film he did make was Man on Wire, that really great documentary way back in the day.
I haven't seen that one. Okay, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, just from the stuff I know of it. I mean, like, I've seen a lot of it. It's really, really good. But, yeah, I was saying that, like, Theory of Everything is a pretty good movie. I just feel like it has a lot of those same tropes because it's very glossy, it's very pretty, it's very safe, you know, kind of thing. Because they really want you to care about this guy, even though it's clear, you know, the reason why Davey was saying he's controversial is because while he was on the race, you know, literally everything, the worst possible things could have happened with his boat happened, where it starts to sink, his equipment's breaking, it's leaking everywhere. And he knows he can't win. So at some point he starts feeding wrong information to the people back in England. Because he's like, oh, well, I guess nobody can actually see me out here on the ocean. So I might as well just let them know, hey, I'm doing great. I'm in I'm over in Africa right now. You know, kind of thing. But that's the problem where it's like, yeah, this guy cheated. You know, he was going to try to get away with cheating until literally the point when it was too late and he drove himself insane. So there's a weird thing where you want to empathize with him, even though if things had worked out for his favor, he would have gotten busted hardcore also, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, it does get by on, but no, going back to James Marsh as a director, I think his strength is performances. Because, like, yeah. Rachel Weisz and Colin Firth, they are great. I mean, Colin Firth basically turns into Tom Hanks from Castaway at some point.
And he's Britain's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but that's, I think, where the strength lies. Because everything else, it's so, sentimental. And yeah. It just feels like it's... You're right. It's constantly trying to pull at your heartstrings. It's like saying, oh, look how sad it is. Like, they keep doing flashbacks. Like,
and I will say that's kind of why it made me feel about, like, Theory of Everything. Because Theory of Everything has a lot of those same tropes and moments. But I feel like at least Theory of Everything, you know, Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones had even more chemistry and greater performances. That this one just felt like it was just kind of a lesser film next to it.
Well,
I was just going to say, going back to Theory of Everything... Because that movie, I think the movie's good. It's not. I don't think it's great. But those performances are, like, god-tier performances. And here, it's not like Firth and Weisz are bad, because they're not. But they're not doing anything that we haven't really seen from them before. They're not elevating the material as much as refining the material.
Yeah. No, and I will say, like, it's still even decently made on its own, because, like you're saying, with James Marsh as a director, because actually some of my favorite parts in this movie are when he's actually on the boat and everything is freaking going wrong, because you're just like, you know, it brought back flashbacks of All Is Lost, that really great movie that came out in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, this is like the diet All Is Lost at some point, and I like that.
Yeah.
Because All Is Lost is an amazing film, and I'm okay with a diet version of it, but then it tries to go back into the... It goes back to the real world, and you realize why he's on this boat, and it just kind of takes all the energy out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, the guy who wrote and produced this is one of the main producers from some previous documentary films, Scott Z. Burns. So, you know, these are people who are trying to do drama and regular, you know, filmmaking, but it's just, like, you know, again, it's the worst thing to say for this movie that it's just fine, you know? There was never a part where I really, like, hated it, like, gosh, this is awful. I never felt that. But I also rarely ever felt like I had anything more than just it's okay, you know, I'm enjoying it. And it's a shame, because I kind of, you know, with the talent behind it, like, again, not just Firth and Weisz, but you also got David Thewlis is in this, you've got Mark Gatiss appears at one point in this movie, Simon McBurney, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Ken Stott, there's a lot of talented British actors in here, just a lot of them don't really get much to do. I mean, David Thewlis, all he does is he's just the guy who funded the film. I mean, funded the adventure. So, you know, David Thewlis doing his voice like that, as we know that the way he talks like that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, it's that that dude from Fargo. You know? and then also, I mean, I will say, too, it is a little sad to know that this is the very final score that we'll get from Johan Johansson. Because you guys know the story about that,
That
right?
breaks my heart. Consistently.
Oh, yeah, no, because, Johan Johansson was, you know, he's a great composer. He did Sicario, he did a bunch of other really great scores, and he passed away last year. Oh, or at least, I think, early this year. So,
He did the opening theme for The Theory of Everything, which is still one of my favorite...
He did the whole score for Theory of Everything. He got an Oscar nomination for that film.
No, he did the whole thing, but the theme for The Theory of Everything is one of my favorite pieces of film music, and it just, I love Johan Johansson.
I will say, the score, I was thinking about that because I was listening to the score. I'm like, wow, this score is really good. It seems more gravitas than the film is. It's
like, yeah. No, the score has a lot of good moments. I wasn't, like, blown away by it by any means, but I'm just like, yeah, it's a very solid, well done. Like, I think, I almost feel like listening to it on its own would be better than listening to it in the movie. Like, I just want to appreciate it a little bit.
Yeah,
more,
that's
and
yeah.
That's usually how most of Johansson's scores are, because he was a brilliant, brilliant musician, and he's often in movies that are good. Like Mandy.
Hey! You know, some people really like Mandy, so.
I know, and God bless him, it's just not my kind of movie. I needed to throw that dig out there.
Well, hey, you know, you can't please everybody with movies. You shouldn't have to. So.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm sure some people will like this movie, but even this movie already came out in England last year. You know, it actually released, it released in the New York BAFTA in 2017, and it came out in February this year. And then now it's making its U.S. like limited debut, and I really, and you know, even there though, it seemed to get kind of a middling response. Everyone's just like, yeah, you know, like, they're just the way we were. Just like, it's fine, you know, it's just not special.
It's interesting that you said when I was being kind of the dick about Mandy that you can't please everyone with every movie. This is a movie that tries to, and it's really. It's just coincidence, but it's interesting that I watched this a week after I saw Green Book, because Green Book feels very much like a movie that will end up playing on CBS, and this is a movie that ends up feeling like it'll play on BBC. Like, these kind of real movies, kind of TV movies, like this weird middle space, like, they both feel like TV movies with theatrical production and acting, and it's just... It's very interesting.
Well, except that Green Book will likely end up being a Best Picture nominee this year, so.
Which is insane.
Wow, hey, man. Really? National Board Review voted for it as Best Film of the Year, so.
Yeah, well, NBR's never actually been right about anything. But we'll save that for Eye on the Prize.
Oh, yes. You know, and I still need to see it, so I can't wait. And also, Chris disagrees with you because he loved it, so.
I'm a drive up to Austin and I'm a fight them.
It's just you, Davey. Face the facts. It's just you.
It's not just me. I have a whole thing about it. I wrote a review about it on Letterboxd. I got a whole thing about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm going to fight them.
But we're not going to talk about the Green Book. We're talking about this movie, and that should also say a little bit that yeah, we're talking about more about Green Book than we're talking about this movie, because this movie's just fine. There's really not a whole lot else I can say. I mean, I guess at this point, is there any final points to make before we go into final thoughts?
One thing that I will say is, from a screenwriting standpoint, I feel like there's a little bit of contradiction, because we were talking about before that, you know, his character... He was passionate. He wanted to do it.
Donald Crowhurst.
Yeah, Crowhurst. He wanted to do it, but after a while, he kind of saw everything kept going wrong, and he's like, I might have second thoughts. And then he's like,
that point though, that yeah, it's like he's literally got himself dug in too deep at that point.
Yeah, so. But then there's a monologue at the end that kind of, to me, contradicts it all. I think this is weird. It's just from a writing standpoint. It just seems like, you know, because the whole thing, I feel like the story is he started the issue, but a lot of things that happened weren't really his fault until, like, you know, it's complicated. But then as it went along, it kind of pointed blame to, like, a group of people.
Yeah, I'll
and
say
it's
that,
like, what?
That ending was really weird. On one hand, I'm like, they're not wrong about the way that they treat the certain people they put the blame on in some capacity, but it felt like a weird last-minute thing where they're just like, oh, well, you see, but in the end, you're the blame about this. So yeah. I'm just like...
It felt like it was, like, the ending was rewritten by his surviving family members.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It could be, because, like, the monologue was... well, actually, I'm going to just... Quick side.
Yeah, no. Just there's a big monologue at the end by somebody.
Yeah,
and then quick, it's a very weird choice. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Quick side note. On another show called Welcome to Mercy, Screener Squad. I referenced a beat. I was a little bit wrong.
Stop apologizing for that. Nobody cares that much, London.
Okay. Well, anyways, the monologue is a good example of using a beat because I had to squeeze it in somehow. Anyway, so. Usually a beat is meant as when a character takes a pause and it's meant to, you know, then they have a response that has more poignancy to it. And usually that's when it's used for a monologue. But there was literally that scene and it just seemed like it was like that big lecture, that big speech that we usually get that be like, oh, yeah, it's like a call to action or something. I'm like, this isn't a call to action film. This is kind of like, hey, stuff happens. you know, just like this life.
Yeah, that honestly is kind of like the thesis in a way of the film, which is just like, yeah, this is bad.
No, like sometimes.
And that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, you know, usually it's like, hey, follow your dreams, things can work out. Sometimes you follow your dreams and things fail.
It's just basically that's and then everyone's sad and it's your fault, Colin Firth.
Yeah.
it did feel very, like, weirdly inconsequential in the end. I will agree with that. You know, just like, so there wasn't really much of a point to tell this story. It's just, oh, it was a sad story and we might make money off of it.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Based on the box office receipts I'm seeing here, the answer is probably no. So, that's a shame. But anyways, London, why don't you segue to your final thought? What do you think about this?
Well, it's as we all said. Pardon me. Well, as we all have been collaborating before, as a very distinguished review, it is meh. Just overall meh.
A very British meh.
The performances are. I think the performances are great. Colin Firth is going to be. Colin Firth and Rachel Weisz are going to be brilliant no matter what, so it doesn't, there's not much to say. I mean, Rachel Weisz is so great that I feel like this is such a supporting wife role. I'm like,
Yeah, she deserves to get more than what she's given in this movie.
She usually picks great, like, she picks great films, and I'm like, so I'm always excited to see her, and I'm like, oh, you're a supporting wife, okay.
Yeah. Even if they're not great films, she's always great in them.
Yeah. That's
no, true. At least she'll be in The Favorite this year, so that's going to help.
And she was in Disobedience, which is not a great film, but she is fantastic in it.
I got it. I need to see more stuff with her because she's great. But anyways, too many flashbacks, trying to push your heartstrings on kind of a vague theme that gets kind of betrayed by the end, which I find that to be an issue. Great score. Well, not say great score, but nice score. I think it's, like I said, it'll be, if you're in Britain and you're on BBC and you want something to make you cry, you can put it on, you know, if you care much. So, so I'm going to give it 6 times out of 10 I'm so bad at these. Six times I wondered if Rachel Weisz has some fountain of youth because she doesn't age, out of 10.
Man, she is gorgeous. Absolutely.
I was kind of distracted, I'll be honest. I'm just like, every time I saw her, I'm like, you don't age. I see you in younger films. You look the same as you were in your 20s.
Yeah, well, I think it says here that she's 48?
Yeah.
Wow. I would never guess.
No,
wow.
She looks like...
Wow.
So I was like, oh, why are you stuck with this crazy guy?
You could be with me, Rachel Weisz.
It's fine.
So next week on the Rachel Weisz podcast, we will...
We're just going to rewatch the trailer for The Favorite over and over again and just drool.
Guys, this...
Our third rewatch of the Constant Gardener. All right, Davey, what's your final rating?
All right, since London went back and did his voice again, I'm going to do my voice again. I don't know what's up with these posh British pricks, but they go on a boat, and it's boring. I'm sorry. I've been trying to find a way to squeeze this in, but screw it. More like the meh scene, am I right?
Get out.
It's fine. You look at the poster and you know exactly what you're getting into. And if that's something that you need right now, go for it. But if you're looking for something more substantial, you're not going to find it here, unfortunately. I don't have much else to say. I give the mercy 5 out of 10 times that I want Rachel Weisz to be my wife.
Okay, so... You don't like the Brits, but you steal from them. Okay, it's fine.
Well, the rain in Spain stays mainly in the ocean in this movie, but... But...
Listen to the Screener Squad, the only podcast where you get constant My Fair Lady jokes.
Oh, boy. You know what? The world could use more My Fair Lady jokes, let's just say that. But anyways,
right.
This movie also could have used some more My Fair Lady jokes, because again, it's just so average. It's just very average, but like London said, if you caught this on TV, it's a good little weepy little drama, and that's about as much praise as you can give this film. Definitely the best parts of this movie, I think, are in the middle when it's more the All Is Lost movie. And it's because, like, yeah, you actually get some real genuine tension and drama watching literally everything fall apart on this boat. So,
yeah.
But yeah, in the end, I think I'm going to give it, 6 out of 10 searing hot drops of metal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
That was painful to watch when that happened. It was like, ooh.
I just like, oh, I mean, I will say this, that's a good visual note to show that he was going crazy, because, like, I would have, anyone else here would have been like, oh, crap! But he's like, eh.
No, so, yeah, the mercy. It's a mercy that we're done with this review now, so.
Yeah.
Ayo!
Yeah. Yep.